say should be taken as medical advice. It's important to just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil. We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird grope. You're worth it.
This is very far from me. Hello, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy, and this is my wife, Sydney McElroy. And this is our podcast, Sawbones.
Is this a whole new intro that we're doing?
I have never remembered an intro when I went out on stage, as long as I've lived, and dear, I don't plan to start now.
Well, we're recording this, so could you do, like, the normal thing you're supposed to do?
Literally, I don't. Can you... What's the first, like, give me a
hello few... and welcome to Sawbones, marital tour of misguided medicine.
I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
We nailed it.
Do I have to do everything?
We nailed it. This is so... Did Travis lean this far?
I don't know. I'm feeling very short.
I'm feeling very, like, not lengthy enough. thank you for having us here in your beautiful city of Washington, D.C. We went to your mall today. One.
It's not the kind of mall Justin likes.
Very bad mall. Not a good mall. It's about as good a mall as Piccadilly Circus is a circus. But we went to the mall where all of our nation's presidents are buried, here in this city where, by law, all of our nation's presidents have been born, here, and it's really inspirational.
Well, sort of. We went to your mall with a toddler. So what we did is we went to the Natural History Museum for an hour.
We went to
the butterfly room.
And then we ate in the cafeteria and left. So it was a very fulfilling 4 hours.
And then we sat on your mall and had a beer and tried to recover
from everything else we did. Excruciating, excruciating. And she only tried to kill like 4 butterflies. That was great. But no, it's great. It feels so historic being here.
Well, it does. And so I thought in light of that, in the spirit of that, we'd have kind of a historical topic.
Like what,
I mean,
Sid?
It's a history show.
Yeah, why not?
How about a presidential topic?
Anybody not listened to Sawbones before? Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Okay. It's a medical history show.
That's the whole pitch.
I'm not going to pitch it more. They're already here. You already got their money.
Too late.
I don't care. Like it or don't. Go get a beer. Not now. I don't care.
No, wait. No, I do. Wait till we're done.
Come rude.
On. You just watched a show about manners.
Yeah, come on.
So I thought we would talk about, a lot of our presidents weren't healthy. Mm. And so I thought we could talk about some of the presidential diseases, some different presidents and some of their medical issues.
Okay.
And especially some of the really dumb ways we tried to address them.
I think I speak for the entire audience when I say wooden teeth, case closed. By which I mean, that's the one I know.
Well, and we'll start with George Washington. I think that's appropriate.
Nice.
Because he was our first president. And he was also pretty sickly.
Aww.
Like, he had a lot of stuff. He was probably, like, all the time that he was doing all the, you know, it's great. He's a cool dude, obviously. But
yeah. The, like, war and stuff were like... Mm.
But he's pretty sick.
Potomac, huge fan. Crossed it like, what? Oh my God, that was him, right?
I think so, yeah.
It's not a history podcast, all right?
So he had, to start with, he had diphtheria as a child, which is not, like, rare for that time period. He wasn't unique because, you know, this is, you know, I have to bring this up because this is before vaccines, which is why you don't get diphtheria now. Thank you, vaccines. Please go get vaccinated. So there's my brief plug for vaccines. He got TB. He also had tuberculosis, TB. And he got it while he was taking his brother to Barbados because his brother had TB and it was thought that the air there was cleaner. So he took his brother thinking, oh, you got TB, I'm going to take you to Barbados and then you're going to recover. And then he got TB too. So that was a bummer.
TB too, the sequel, the way worse version of TB.
He also got smallpox there. But he did recover, of course, obviously. But he always had, I guess he always had like the complexion to prove it after that.
Oh, really?
You know, mm-hmm.
So we just came here to talk yay about the president's complexions.
And he also had dysentery a lot. He had one bout of dysentery during the French and Indian War that was reportedly so bad, his butt hurt so bad from this dysentery that he had to put like a pillow on the horse that he was riding, which put him in danger because he was like elevated above everybody else, like a perfect target. Okay, but it was like his butt hurt, so he's like, forget it, I don't care, I gotta have this pillow.
You know the word that's really bothering me in this? Reportedly. Because... how's your report going? Well, it's pretty good. The first part is about how my boss has such bad poops, he has to sit on a danger pillow and dodge bullets. So I guess I'm pretty much done with my report, I was supposed to file. Reportedly. Or he's like, someone get me a pen. History needs to know.
I gotta write
how
this
my
down.
Week has gone.
Nobody's gonna believe this. Other random illnesses, of course, he got malaria, he got tonsillitis, he got pneumonia, he had a big carbuncle, like a big like abscess infection on his face at one point that people thought was a tumor. It wasn't, thank goodness, it was just a big infection. But what got him finally was first he got epiglottitis, which was swelling of the epiglottis. He got an infection and it got so big that he couldn't swallow, which was bad enough, except what really probably killed Washington were his doctors.
Oh,
because
man.
The treatment at the time for, well, anything, was to bleed him. So they did. They bled about 80 ounces out of him.
That's for, so many.
That's a lot. For reference, the human body has about 170.
Oh, man. So, like, near, like, half.
So, unfortunately, the president passed away soon after.
Because of the blood. But luckily, you can still get donations of his blood today. It was just so much.
Now, another president, some of these presidents I was reading about, I know very little about. The thing I knew about Grover Cleveland is that he was president twice and not consecutively.
Right.
And there you go. He also, here's the other thing I now know about him, and you will too. He also had a tumor in the roof of his mouth early in his second term, but he didn't want anybody to know. His doctor told him, like, that's cancer. We got to do something. And he didn't want any of his constituents to know because he wanted to look strong. Which I think that's still a thing. You know, our presidents try to look tough. And so he arranged for a fishing trip on a friend's yacht. And he announced, like, I will be gone for 4 days on a fishing trip. Which would be crazy now. Like, you won't hear from me for 4 days. No communication. The country's running on its own.
Yeah. Best of luck, everybody.
I don't know what you... Biden's in charge. We're out.
Out.
4 days.
Did he make it? We put him on the comp list. No.
Can I have a hug if you're here? But anyway, so he took off for 4 days on a yacht. He had 6 surgeons waiting for him.
On
to
the
remove,
yacht. That's a
on the,
chill
on the yacht.
Assignment, though. Like, if you have to get an assignment to go remove a president's mouth tumor, like, you could do worse than chilling on a yacht for 4 days.
And they did. They did surgery. They removed the tumor. They removed 5 teeth and a big part of his jaw. They did it all through his mouth, and he was very insistent on this because he had a mustache that he was very well known for, and he didn't want him to upset the stash, so they had to go through the mouth. And he came back, and no one ever knew.
Nice. Well, we knew.
Well, now we know. I mean, we knew later.
Do you think they rushed through it on the first day? It's like, they're doing the pig roast tonight, and I would really like to get out to there. And I'd love a Mai Tai. You know what, guys? We're already going to be here for 4 days. Let's bang this out today. Let's get this tour out. Just enjoy ourselves. You know, have one for us.
A president that I think a lot of people are aware of got sick was William Henry Harrison. Do you remember William Henry Harrison?
He had a bad, not a very impactful president.
No, fairly short.
Old Bill Harrison.
So let me give you a little history, because it's kind of interesting, the story about, I don't know, I mean, most of us know that he was president for like 30 days, and that's it. But he was born in Virginia. He served in the Army.
What's up, Virginia?
He was the hero of the Battle of Tippecanoe.
And Tyler, too?
And Tyler, too, because that was his campaign slogan, right? Tippecanoe and Tyler, too. So he was known as like a war hero. He also recaptured Detroit from the British in 1812. Without him, we wouldn't have Detroit. So there you go. He ran on a log cabin campaign, which I read about that, and I was like, what does that mean? So it's because his opponents tried to make him look like this old geezer kind of guy, like he sits on the porch of his log cabin, and he drinks his cider, and we need to put him out to pasture. Like, that was how they tried to make him look, because that's what it meant back in the day to be old. You would sit on the porch of your log cabin and drink cider.
Yeah, so
the old people used to do.
They would bring out logs from a log cabin, he would karate chop them in half, and be like, now it's an old man.
His supporters actually would give out, they kind of like went with it. They're like, fine, you want to go with log cabin? We're going to roll with it. And they made these bottles of whiskey shaped like log cabins, and they would give them out to people like, vote for Harrison. Vote for old Tippecanoe. Log cabin. We got it. They were actually made by the EC Booze Company, which is where booze comes from.
How's that? That's B-B-O-O-Z, like flues, but booze.
Right, yeah.
No E. We add an E now these days, I guess.
Thanks, Justin.
No problem.
So
I didn't want anybody to tweet that hot fact and like put an E on there erroneously.
So, as we know, he was our 9th president. It was the shortest term. He was a very like hardy outdoorsman. He was a farmer. He thought, I can handle foul weather. So when he gave his inaugural speech, we've probably heard this story, it went on for 2 hours. It was the longest in history at 8,445 words. And supposedly, as the story goes, he caught a cold while he was out giving this very long speech, and then he got pneumonia, and he died a month later. And then Tyler became president. But let's pause for a second, because there's a really gross story about this beautiful city that I want to share now. Until 1850, there was no sewage system here. So... Yay for sewage.
We used to know how to party. What? Sewage is great. Like,
so waste would just kind of flow across the ground and just like end up wherever. And there was this marsh that formed about 7 blocks from the White House, a marsh of human waste. And it was actually like orchestrated, like, this is where we shall dump our waste. And like, you could take it up, you're there yourself, like you could haul it there on your own, or they would even, you could pay somebody to like haul your waste to the White House marsh. This was a really dirty place. So it was like this big swampy marsh, and there were all kinds of bacteria there. There were mosquitoes swarming all over it, and there were probably a lot of diseases in there, including typhoid. Now, we have looked back at President Harrison, and now we think he probably actually died of typhoid. It probably had nothing to do with his speech. It was probably the White House itself that did him in.
Whoa.
So... So there you go.
I've always given that guy such a hard time.
No.
Hey, I'm sorry. Or I'm sorry. I don't know where he's chilling, up or down. I don't know what he died from. I don't know if he was like a nice dude or not. I'm not gonna sit here and judge the fool. I thought he died of a cold for 35 years.
Now, we thought this more because as we've studied other presidents, we think that that similar things may have been the result of the White House marsh, as I'm always going to think of it now. Zachary Taylor, our 12th president, who was only president for about 16 months.
Do you think there's a Chipotle there now? That'd be amazing.
Not because we'll probably accidentally eat there.
Yeah.
So President Taylor, in 1850, on the 4th of July, as part of 4th of July celebrations, he was going around attending fundraisers, and he was outside. It was a very hot day. He was outside most of the day, and he ate a lot of things. He ate a lot of raw vegetables, which would have been washed in some sort of water. He ate, this is one of the things I kept finding over and over again, a big bowl of cherries. So he had a very large bowl of cherries, and he had many glasses of iced milk. I guess that was really popular.
What? Iced milk? What's wrong with that? It's cold milk. What's wrong with you people?
Ice in your milk. So later that evening, he started getting profuse diarrhea and vomiting. He developed a fever. He became very ill. There were four physicians who took care of him. They tended to him day and night. They gave him the treatments of the time, which were mainly like opium and quinine, lots of mercury, all the good stuff. But nothing helped, and unfortunately, he died 5 days later. Now, what's strange is that we were never really sure what got him. It was recorded at the time that it was cholera, but a lot of diarrhea was blamed on cholera then. So later on, people started thinking it probably wasn't cholera. So then there was thought like, well, maybe it was typhoid, since now we know there was this White House swamp, and there was probably typhoid everywhere. Maybe he got typhoid. Except one historian in the 1990s, Clara Rising, thought, you know what? Maybe he was poisoned. Now, why did she think this? Because Taylor adamantly opposed slavery, despite the fact, as I found out, he was a slave owner. He did oppose slavery, and he was fighting to ensure that all the new states that were being added out west would not allow slavery in those states. And so there were a lot of people in the South who wanted him dead. And the president that followed him after he died, Millard Fillmore, was fine with allowing slavery everywhere. So there was this thought, like, ooh, maybe he was assassinated by someone from the South. So Rising was so convinced of this that she decided she wanted to prove it by exhuming his body. Because she tried to get a hair sample first, but there was no hair sample. She wanted to prove that there was poison there. And she couldn't find any. So she wanted to exhume his body, and the only way she could do that was if she found a family member and got their permission. So she starts calling everybody with the last name Taylor. This is what she did. Eventually, she found a guy who was a descendant of the president. His name was John McElhenney. He was 84 years old, and he was the great-great-great-grandson of Taylor. He's also, by the way, related to the guy who invented Tabasco sauce.
All right.
Yes, I know. So all this huge case, like she tracks on this guy, he gives permission, then she has to get permission from the Jefferson County, Kentucky coroner and the Department of Veterans Affairs, and she goes through all these hoops and they exhume the body and they study the hair looking for arsenic, and there's not any because he died of typhoid. Oh. That's a crazy story.
Wow, man. That's not how I thought it was going to end. But to be fair, I probably would have heard about it before now if it hadn't ended like that.
You'd think that'd be the first thing you'd find, like when you Google him, like poisoned.
If there is an afterlife and Taylor is watching from heaven, I hate that he had to go through that, huh? What are they?
I doubt he minded.
Oh, no, come on. It was just time. Come on.
It was the cherries.
It was Poor guy.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
Sawbones is brought to you this week by Aura Frames, which makes such a fantastic gift for Mother's Day, don't you think, Sid?
Oh, it's the perfect gift.
You're a mother. Would you like to get an Aura Frame?
I would love to get an Aura Frame. I mean, I already have a couple.
Yeah.
But I could always use another. There's more rooms in your house.
That's right. It's a great way to keep someone in the loop of your life, as I have always said. With an Aura Frame, you can set it up ahead of time. You can hook it up with their Wi-Fi, whatever you need to do. It is easy, easy, easy to set up. You can do it even before you wrap it up. And then you can upload a bunch of photos, you know, before you give the gift. But then as you take more photos throughout your life, you can upload them wirelessly to the frame and they will just poof, magically appear there on the frame of your loved one. That is a gift that just keeps on giving. I mean, I know it's a cliche, Sydney, but it's true.
Literally. You can add new pictures to the Aura Frame every day, every minute if you want to.
Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver Mat Frame. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Oh, it's really storming here, and that used to frighten me, Sydney, but not anymore, because now I realize, like Eponine in Les Miserables, that rain makes the flowers grow, and the fast-growing trees.
That's true, Justin. That's really good for our fast-growing apple trees outside.
Yeah, both of those little guys have been starting to look really lovely out there with some flowers, some blossoms, I believe is the technical term.
For flowers? Yes. You've learned so much from fastgrowingtrees.com.
Well, they make it really easy, Sydney. If I have any questions, I can just call them on the phone and they will help me. They've also got great walkthroughs on their site. They've got guides. They've got advice like if you put in your zip code, they can tell you what plants are going to do good for your climate, you know, what times of year are best for planting, et cetera, et cetera. They make it really easy and a lot of fun. This spring, they have the best deals for your yard, up to half off on select plants and other deals at fastgrowingtrees.com/sawbones. And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code Sawbones at checkout. Now is the perfect time to plant. Use Sawbones to save today. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply.
The last president I want to talk to you about was James Garfield. He was our 20th president in 1881. Like, that was the only year he was president. You'll find out why. And I know what you're thinking. Now, wasn't he shot? We know what killed him, right?
That's not a disease.
we know that one.
Sydney, lead poisoning doesn't count.
But there's more to it, okay? And let me say this. I found out a lot about James Garfield. He was kind of a cool dude. He was really smart. He was like a self-made man. He could write in Greek with one hand and Latin with the other, like at the same time. I don't know what utility you have in that.
I have to get two pressing messages out right now.
You know what he's going to do when he's drunk at a party every time? Like, watch this. Cool, right,
cool,
ladies?
Right. I wrote fart in both of them.
So he became president, and like I said, he was a really smart dude. He may have done a lot of great things. Unfortunately, we won't know, because this was the era of the spoils system, which meant that anybody who wanted a position in government, all you had to do was just go ask for it. Like, you could get an interview with the president and demand, no matter what your qualifications or experience or anything. So, like, he would spend lots of time, all the presidents did, interviewing people for government positions. One of the people he interviewed was a man named Charles Guiteau. And he was a kind of a loser, really. He had tried a lot of different things. He tried to be a lawyer for a while. He tried to be an evangelical preacher. He started a free love commune for a while. But even that didn't work. They actually kicked him out of his own commune.
Oh. They tried to make that love a little too free.
They started calling him Charles Get Out, which isn't like the most clever play. But anyway. So he showed up at the White House and he demanded a job as minister to France. And they said no, because you don't have any experience doing anything. So at this point, he decides that he's receiving messages from God that he needs to kill the president, because he didn't make him minister to France. So that's what he decides to do. He shines his shoes and he gets a gun and he goes to a train station where he knows Garfield's going to be, and he shot him. Now, the thing about it is that the where the bullet went in, actually, probably, if you got to get shot, wasn't that bad of a place. The wound itself was not fatal. What happened after this is that because the bullet went in about 3.5 inches, and it lodged kind of below his pancreas, but just in the middle of kind of a lot of nothing, a lot of not important stuff. I mean, everything's kind of important, but like not the most important stuff. It's okay. The bullet's okay. But all the physicians around him were like, we're going to save the president. So they all rush the scene, and there are all these doctors who show up, and they're all digging in this wound with their dirty fingers, trying to get this bullet back out to save the poor guy's life. Lincoln wants to help, and so he calls in Dr. D. Willard Bliss. Now, Justin, I have a note right here that I need you to read out loud. Dr. D. Willard Bliss.
Ask me what the D stands for, Justin. Okay, what does the D stand for?
It stands for doctor.
That's good. I'll give you that one, Smurl. That's good.
His mom named him doctor.
I mean, called shot right there, right?
And as you would imagine, if you're named, like he was arrogant and he was reckless and he was a man who knew.
He's like, well, you can't fire me.
No, I'm doctor.
I'll still be doctor.
I'm still doctor. He had no regard for antiseptic technique. Not many people did at the time. And he refused to believe. Also, that he kind of looked at him and said, I know where this bullet is. And it is definitely on the right side of your body and not the left. So we're going to keep probing towards the right side of your body and try to find this bullet. So he kept searching for the bullet. In the meantime, he was giving him like quinine, a lot of morphine, lots of brandy.
How was it a debate?
Some mercury. He actually at one point called in Alexander Graham Bell, who had invented this thing.
Hi, can you call a better doctor, please?
It was called an induction balance device, and it was basically a metal detector. And he called him in to use this new, brand new, what we would think of now as a metal detector, to just search the right side of his body for the bullet. He wouldn't even let him look on the left. He was so certain that it was on the right. Well, obviously, he didn't find the bullet, and they kept digging, and all in all, about a dozen or so doctors at some point had their finger inside this poor man. You can imagine, over time, the wound was like 20 inches long. It was quite infected. It was pouring pus. He got very sick, and 80 days later, he died, unfortunately. Now,
what's how long?
80 days.
That's a cool 80 days, huh? That's a cool nearly 3 months to have for your last of them. Good. That's definitely how I want to spend them. Me too. I get Phineas Fogg was like, hey, you want to come chill in a balloon? And they was like, no. What I'm going to do is I'm going to line a table and let doctors just like get up in there until I'm dead. Okay?
At least, I mean, they did give him a lot of brandy.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. But
after he died, his murderer, Charles Guiteau, went on trial, of course, for it. They knew he was the one who shot him. And he pled guilty to shooting him. He admitted he did. But he pled not guilty to murdering him. And what he said was, listen, I just shot him. His doctors killed him.
Fair, right? Fair defense?
Which, while true, did not hold up. He was found guilty.
Nah. I was just trying to spook the guy. I don't know what happened. Trying to put a scare into him.
Wow. So you guys don't come out great in this one, huh?
No.
You guys don't come out too great.
We rarely do at this point in history.
Yeah, it's not a hot time for you all.
No, I mean, that's what every one of these, as you read them, it's like, what did we do? We gave him, you know, like some opium and some mercury and some quinine, and then he died. I don't know. We'll do it again next time and see what happens.
Hey, everybody, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having us. This is great. We're going to take a 15-minute intermission. And then we'll be right back with my brother, me. But until then, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right.
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.